Okay, so the litmus test, and why do I call it that? The knowing we have eternal life, what has happened over the years is we have allowed organizations and man and human desire to kind of remold Christianity. So Satan doesn't even have to do things to pull us away because we've pulled ourselves away by doing Christianity our way. Okay, there's a lot of people who have moments and they'll say, God made me do this, and I fell into this, and so on and so forth. And we like those things that feel as though, God put this in my place and it's so magical. Even though those things can exist, you listen to half the stories, it's kind of molded by that person or by those organizations. The problem with that, of course, is we're going to see a lot of them are being misled. And like I said, the strong verse that puts us out there, I think it's in Matthew 7, where it says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, to me will enter the kingdom of heaven. But we don't even take that serious. The key is to hear these words of mine, put them into practice. You know what I mean? That whole understanding of that. In fact, the New Year's message is going to talk about that. But we don't take that serious. We do our own thing, measure ourselves to people that are evil. We pick our own good and evil instead of going, God, what does it mean to be a Christian? So litmus test, and that's come what we used to use in school or in science places, and this paper would be a certain color if it's an acid, a certain color if it's a base, and you have a bunch of them for other things as well. So First John does a great job. And how do we know it's for us to know if we're headed to heaven? How do we know if it's talking to true Christians? Well, it first starts off in First John. In fact, it doesn't start, it ends with the answer. So I'm starting off with the end in order for us to understand this. So first of all, 1 John 5:13, he says, I write these things to you who believe. So first of all, who's he writing them to? Those who are Christian, or say they're a Christian, okay? In the name of the Son of God. So in other words, this is not his writing coming from him based on how he feels about it, so that you may know that you have eternal life. I heard a minister say this one time. He was saying it when he read it as if, show you that you have eternal life. But he kind of said it to convince you. You definitely have it. Don't worry about it. But when we go in and read what he says in First John, that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is, I'm going to make it so you're clear that you have it and you're not just claiming it. Here is what's needed to have it. When you go through the book, what I've done is I put it in categories. And what you're going to see with this, it's in broken in different categories that when these aspects, how do they look in your life? How do you deal with them in your life? And it's very important on how you see both things. So the first item that is going to measure where we're at is going to be concerning sin in our lives. Now, one of the biggest things that has hurt our Christian walk is when we've allowed different organizations to create sin. I grew up in the Church of God in Christ, which is an offshoot of Pentecost and a lot of apostolic churches, and they had a lot of things that they would present so you can use just their list when it came to sin. Do you understand? Like I said, on what you wore, on what you listened to, on what you did, certain activities, and it sounded great. Once you got the list, you're like, okay, good. So as long as I don't do this, and then we would get mad at other people. You're not supposed to be doing that. And we had all this stuff that we would throw at people. And just in my teenage years, I would go, so what makes this wrong, but not this wrong? And I praise God for that curiosity. And that skepticism that would jump in my mind and not just take some word for it, but to really understand this, to really grasp this. And so the thing I had to understand is, okay, let me see what God says about these. And it blew my mind on how many of those things were made up stuff. And that's why you had the other churches were a little too lax and almost call nothing sin. I mean, in fact, those people in some of the laid-back churches, like the Methodist churches and the Lutheran church, they're more caught up on the how things look in that service, but you live your life, do whatever you want. And you kind of get it. You really shouldn't be doing that, but you're a Christian. And we bypass that, and that's even gotten worse as well. So we have the two sides. One is just overdoing it, making up their own stuff based on men. And you got the other one that's just, once you get the title, live your life and enjoy it. But what does he say about these things? So first of all, concerning sin, concerning darkness and sin, which is under sin, 1 John 1, 5 through 10 says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. He continues to make points that this is not from me. Okay. So he's making clear, as John is putting out here, that this is from God. Like I said, the instrument that's passing on what God says. He first describes God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. Okay. Very important for us to get this. So then he starts off with three words, if we claim. And that's where we go today, because many eternal security and people who say they're saving people claim, I am a Christian. Like he said, we claim to have fellowship with him. Okay? So I'm saying I do. And that's all some people need. Now, it's not only dangerous to you, it's dangerous to them. So when I just respect them and say, well, they said they're a Christian, but and or if I'm growing in my Christianity, but I accept this person as a Christian and I'm unequally yoked, I'm going to get corrupt. So there's a problem, because he's saying, if I say I'm a Christian, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk, excuse me, it's going to come down to how we live. Please get that. God is not impressed that I sit there and read the Bible. God is not impressed. Even if I go to all the Bible sessions, do you understand that? Even if I go to none. Now, the foolish thing, if I don't go to none, I'm still held accountable for what I'm supposed to know, right? If I don't read my Bible, if I don't listen to the word, if I don't ask the questions, I'm still responsible for the test, I always say, okay? You're responsible for life, and you're ignoring the fact that you are responsible for life, and you would put the time in. But then you have some that are consistent on the religious activities, but the overall how they live is disruptive. That's why he says, I claim to be a Christian, but how do I walk? How is my life? If I walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Now, darkness, like I said, some of these churches, some of these groups have done, doesn't mean I pick one and ignore another, right? You'll have some that are sleeping around as Christians and just kind of, you know, oh, well, it's no big deal. But then they'll bash the ones who are gay and call themselves Christians and say, oh, man, they're going to hell. Both are in darkness if that's how they're living. Do you understand that? The darkness part has to be described by God. Okay? And I'm stressing that because how Satan gets us is that fact of me defining it myself while I'm still doing it. And then we go back into being hypocrites, and we can't allow that to happen, but we tend to do that. He says we lie. Have you ever seen those things in Congress where somebody will say, sir, you said blah, 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 blah. And they'll go, are you calling me a liar? You know, and that's always that tense moment. And I wish one of them would go, well, kind of. But what God is saying here, if you are not doing this, you lie. Thank you, God. Right? And plain and simple, even if you were unaware and you play the victim, it's still a lie. Because did you really check and search for it to be the truth? So how are you living? But then he makes clear, but if we walk in the light, and now here's the big part, as he is in the light. Now, why is that so necessary? Because we have different flavors of Christianity, and I hate to say it, there's only going to be one. Only one is right. No, he's not saying, isn't it great? Everybody has only disputable matters. We're not talking about how we worship. We must worship in spirit and truth. That's just one. How we love. We're going to see that a little later in this. And that's just one. What our faith looks like. It's going to be the same way. It has to be. I can go down the list of things that are indisputable, and they are the same. And only one group, maybe not one church, but one group is following it. All these other ones are setting themselves up. They're called what's called impure. So when he says, if we walk in the light, it makes a person go, what is the light? And it said, as he is in the light. So I don't need some guy that I say I respect to write a book and tell me what the light is, unless that guy's going into God's word solidly and saying, here is the light. We have full access to how we're supposed to live in his word. But like I said, we get those other people that add or take away to it or hypocritically give you half. You pat yourself on the back for doing half while you're in the darkness on the other. If you're doing both, you're in the darkness. Okay, there is, you can't straddle, cannot do that. So it says, if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. That's Christianity. That's the starting point of what you'll see. We tend to get in it and stay in our comfort zone. And I think today why it's hard for people to grasp this is because we like our comfort zone. That's why it's called comfort zone, right? I don't want to leave it, because in many cases, when we read what he's saying here, we're going to have to readjust some major things in our lives. Nobody likes doing that, okay? That's why many don't preach this. I get it, because people go, oh, let me move on. I don't want to hear that. I just want to hear God loves you and I'm going to heaven. And that's why when somebody dies, we just say, I'll see them again. And we sing these emotional songs. I've had many people this entire year that really stuck out. We give me spiritual, emotional stories. And a lot of them just were not grounded in God's word. But I'm not going to go, no, that's not true to them. You know, you can't do that. But it breaks my heart, because emotionally, man, they're caught. They have it. They're sure. But spiritually, something's missing, and they're allowing themselves to believe it because you can tell about their comfort. Okay, so he also says in verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. A lot of times that claiming will come in how we are to other people. When you get that person that when they talk to you, they talk down to you. Or they talk at you as if they're disappointed in you, or if they're mad at you for the sin that you're doing. That's this, believe it or not. It's not just talking about the people that say, well, I'm not a sinful person. It's the people that make it seem like because you sin, you're a horrible person. Because I'm claiming in my actions, it's that not taking the plank out of my eye and not realizing. He says, we deceive ourselves, and many think that, okay? Pharisees, Sadducees, religious leaders, their whole game plan when Jesus was here was just to find out what he's doing wrong and then to approach him with, you know. Now, we have that. We come up with that. No Christian should be that. And I'm not saying there's two things Christians should not be. You should not be the Christian that's doing that, you know, talking down to a person, making them feel guilty towards you, because all they'll do is avoid you. And then you're not doing them any good, and you're part of the problem. But you also don't want to be the enabler Christian. Well, you're only human. Everybody does that. Don't worry about that. You don't want to be that either. Both very demonic driven, and you don't want that. A Christian comes in humbly. Christian comes in recognizing I'm a sinner just like them. They're doing another sin. I'm struggling with another sin. I got to work on this, okay? I'm struggling with it because I keep giving in to my flesh. How can I help you? Let me tell you mine. You see the difference? It says, if we confess our sins, and that's why the Catholics go to some man in a box. Now, where are we told to do? We confess our sins to one another, but mostly we confess our sins to God. Okay, and this is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all righteousness. This is our goal. But when I'm self-righteous, I would like to think, man, I'm one of few people that is just so holy, and I'm going around so I can judge people on what they're not doing. And like I said, be careful. You know what I mean? When I was younger, I mean, once again, from the church we came from, and I remember I couldn't stand some of the people in the church. And then I went through a phase. It was a small phase because I didn't like it when it was done to me, and I couldn't find it biblically. But I did remember a phase when people would avoid me, because I'd be the first going, you're not supposed to be doing that. Now, I know we're supposed to rebuke. I know we're supposed to bring them back, restore them gently. It's exactly what the Bible says. But how I was doing it, that I had to step back and look at it, was Keith was judging them. Keith was doing. How can I do it in a way that when they look at Keith, they go, that person who's going through something was kind enough, loving enough to help me go through my something. That's what you want to present yourself as. The only one who has the right to approach us and look disappointed and he didn't do it is Jesus. All right? Like I said, not enabling, but understanding, how can I show, how can I help you? I know we think we're doing it. A lot of times you'd be surprised that we're not doing it. So the confessing of our sins is so important, because if we really look at ourselves and know what God's word says, we realize, man, I'm messing up many cases. Because what we have done conveniently is we have taken sin and only the ones we see as bad, and say, I'm not doing it. People who are in jail, people hear what's going on. We hear about Jeffrey Epstein. I think everybody's in agreement. The people who participated in anything with a child and sex rings and all stuff, I think nobody disagrees with that. However, you have the other ones that are not very loving. They got attitudes all the time. You have those that are biased on certain things. You have those, like we talked about, are hypocrites. These are same level. Same level. You don't go to jail for those things. Right? Who are hoarding, who are money driven. I can go down a list of certain things that we look at and they're no big deal to us, but it's sin. If I don't acknowledge it, people are not only not going to listen to me where I can help them, they're going to look at me as a hypocrite. That's why he says in verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. I didn't recognize this, you know, until I got into the ministry, that the worst ones, and he kept exploiting and made clear to make everybody know, because it's the only times we've seen the levels of hell they were for, the sin of distorting his word and self-righteousness. Never mess with his word. And distorting his word doesn't just mean you purposely go in there and do it. It means you're not reverently presenting it. All right, so anybody who's done that, who wrote books and the books distorted what he said, they're going to have to answer for a lot. However, the other group that approaches, like I said, with that sense of, oh, no, here comes Pastor Keith. He's so holy. And I present myself in that way in order to make you stop sinning. You're going to stop sinning for me the minute I mess up. Minute I mess up, you're not only going to lose faith in me, which you shouldn't have faith in the first place. You're going to lose faith. Time after time. And we're in this phase right now because people are being exposed left and right. You have ministers that you thought were so holy. Next thing you know, this one did that. That one did that. This one did. This one really didn't know. And you're like, oh, no. But they were all just human. All I want them to do is present God. Once you give me God, amen. Thank you for that clarity. I'm going to move on. All right? But we don't do that because we have to claim we have sinned. Ministers should let you know, oh, no, I'm no better than you. No, I'm not that holy. I'm trying to live holy. And when I say I'm not that holy, in myself. So it keeps me focused that I got to stay in him consistently. It can't just be at some other times. Because like you said, we make him out to be a liar. And his word has no place in our lives. So we have to be very careful of that. All right. Another thing under sin is a Christian does not continue living in sin. Now, let me be very careful on this. Because when we read just simple translations, this is why questions are so important. We think we're not supposed to sin at all. That's not what it says, because even the Bible says, if your brother sins, rebuke him, right? And so the sinning aspect is going to be it. When you see in this one that we're reading, it's talking about how you live. So there's difference. You're going to see a Christian that may have moments, and then you're going to see a Christian where you're questioning, are they really a Christian? Because their character, their lifestyle show something else. 1 John 3:4-10 says, everyone who sins breaks the law. We're under Christ's law right now. In fact, sin is lawlessness. It's when I do something I'm not supposed to do. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. Okay, amen. And not just the penalty of sin, literally our sin. This is always hard for people to swallow. We have the ability, after we get saved, to live a completely sinless life. We have the ability, but his mercy still allows the battle that we have with our flesh not to play factor in it, but we have to still battle. It's still a choice we got to make, okay? So he could take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Did you catch this? In him, there is no sin. The key, the only key that works is me staying in him. Now, it only seems convenient to us to stay in him when something's happening. Like if I'm going to go take a big test, then I want to be as Christ-like as possible. I want to follow Christ in every way, and I want to do what I'm supposed to in Christ. Do you understand that? And I think what can hurt that in many cases is we put him on and then take him off. This ain't no way. And he was like, I'll wait until you take it off. You know, it's like boxing or whatever. Once the person puts the guard down, I can hit you now. I'm not going to keep trying to hit you behind what you're blocking. So in the same way, Satan waits. And a lot of us have godly moments. Most have godly moments, and they're not godly. Right? Godly is all the time. Because in him is no sin. I probably need to find that and highlight. Thank you. All right, so it's very important. So he makes clear here, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. Okay? He's not saying, if you're going to live in me, quit sinning. He was like, no. Do you want to know the ones who are really Christians? Watch their lives. Right? They, I don't care what they call themselves. I don't care what church they go to. I don't care what certificates they have. I don't care how baptized they think they are. If you see them living and their life character is sin, I mean, you watch them and you know it. Okay? There's a difference between sin and struggling with sin, too. Okay? Those are called strongholds, even though we have the ability to get rid of those. When you see a person struggling with it, you see them and you know they're going through it. Okay? That's not talking about that person. These are accepted sins. It's a characteristic of me. I have no intention on changing. Okay? And no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues in sin. Once again, all these Greek words are meaning a pattern, a lifestyle, if you will. Has either seen him or known him. And let me make something clear, because what some will do is they'll be extra godly for this. I'm talking about something else, right? Extra godly for this, in order that they may not be for this. There's a lot of commentators and people that go out into the world and they do and talk about some very ungodly things until they get around godly people and then they're very godly. But they corrupted that. Do you think if Jesus did any part of that, that would be accepted? Again, we're supposed to walk as he does. But you'll hear people go into defense, and that's what Satan wants. And remember, when I defend somebody who's living wrong, I'm harming them, I'm harming me, and I'm harming other people because it makes me feel. That makes sense? It makes me feel a certain way. Okay? And you have to understand that. Like I said, Martin Luther King was well known for some of the stuff that he did, and it was lifestyle. People knew about it. But then you've seen the wonderful things he did, and people said, let's ignore this. You could take the stuff he did that was good and say that stuff was good. But the minute you put him on a pedestal, you're setting up. Same thing with Charlie Kirk. Same thing as the stuff he was talking. They'd use stuff like, oh, I was just out of context. I had to go listen to the stuff. And after you listen, I always listen because Turning Point is more conservative. It's conservative, not godly. And it's evil then. So if you don't take that side and only take the times when he did talk about Christ and at times he was correct, if you don't take these things into consideration and support them, people are going to take the entire package. Like I said, I can give you a fresh glass of water and just give you a drop of cyanide and you're still going to die. And we don't recognize that. We go into support. Oh, no, you won't talk. I think this person's holy, blah, blah, blah. And we'll go into that defense instead of realizing, but is he continuing in sinning? Instead of us going, well, yeah, what did he just say that? He has either seen him or known him. But here I am touting this person as godly. See the problem? Okay? You got to be careful with this. He says in verse 7, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. That's exactly what happens. Because remember, what does Satan disguise himself as? An angel of light. Which means he's going to give the impression that he's an angel from God, okay? But if I'm not watching in what God says, and if I'm not protecting myself the way God says, I'm going to be on that bandwagon. Well, no, he's a good person. He's a good angel, right? When he says, let no one lead you astray, the question should be, I need to soundly see this other thing that he's doing or she's doing or they are doing. Is that soundly in God's word, right? And if it's not, you better step back. He says, he who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Be clear with this. I'm not just labeled righteous, right? Even though we are to be the righteousness of God, but you'll see me and everything I'll do is based on what is right. Now, remember, only Jesus is the way. So that's the right way, okay? So when I do something, not was it one that makes sense? No. Was it something that turned out the greatest? No. Was it something that made me more successful? No. It'll be something that's in line with him soundly. Can you say that? That was a hard pill to swallow in certain cases, because I had to, in looking deep into that, I think what was missed is we started going astray and started seeing outcomes. Outcomes. Years ago, when somebody said, how do I measure when I'm in the right path of God? I heard one minister say, how's your outcome? Look how successful you are. And I remember church went crazy. And look at this that's happening. Problem is, they had the people in that church silently going, well, what am I doing wrong? They would get ill and go, is that just something I did? And they didn't make as much money. And then you get some of the most rotten people in those churches making a ton of money going, amen, look at God blessing me. I'm just great. And they talk a lot of nonsense. And it didn't jive with God. But the more you study his word, it's never, your measurement is never on your outcome. It's going to be on your output. You understand that? Let's say everything failed, outcome. And then somebody sits down and says, so tell me what you did. And you did exactly what the word said. Guess what? Well done. You're going, but why did it turn out? Don't God knows what he's doing, and it's working for your good. But did you do what he told you? Yeah, you're good. But we've conned people into striving for outcome, which means we continue in sin. It's something that it's not as complex. It's just complex because our flesh likes the outcome when they're desirable, instead of us recognizing what he said. So this is my protection. How do I know a person is Christian? He does what is right. Okay? So when I approached you and I dealt with you on that, did I do it in the way God, was I gentle? Because that's right, his Bible shows. Did I do it with love? How about patience? What was my purpose? All of this stuff, you'll be able to say when he did it, how he did it, if he did it, so on and so forth. I can show you in scripture everything. But when any of it is for anything else that's not in God, it's no longer right. So then that person's not righteous. Okay? And remember, there's only two. There's either right, which is Christ, and there's wrong, which is of the devil. It says he who does what is sinful is of the devil. Now, the significance of that is, through the years, I think all of us have been taught, when we hear the devil or sin, it's only extreme cases. If I said murder, we'd all agree. Yep, sin, devil. Amen? I think nobody would disagree with that. But when I go to, like I said, some of the things on the attitude that I may have with somebody, I can show you in the Bible on how, if how I am to you makes you fall, if my freedoms, right? Was I gentle with that person, right? Was I patient? All of these, if I'm not, that's sinful and of the devil, right? Certain wisdoms. If it's sinful, it's of the devil. He says, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Because he is successfully, and he's doing it again in these terrible times, having us restructure these items. And this is why I get the definition from God. Stop molding it and taking it yourselves. Okay? He says, and very clearly in 9, no one who is born of God will continue to sin. Once again, this is living in sin. So I can't have somebody that happens to come to church and they're a murderer, they're sleeping around, they're treating people like garbage, they live it for their money. I can go down a list of certain things that they're doing and certain things that we even honor, and they're still doing that. They're not saved. I don't care what I preached and prayed over them if they haven't accepted it. Because remember, the qualification for a person to be saved is he who believes. And what is belief? My life in action, my faith in action. My life will be faith. What did Jesus say? My righteous ones will walk by faith. Right? He's going to see and know, our calling card will be, the reason why he did that was because the word said. Not, well, I thought, I felt, I have no problem with, meaningless. All that's meaningless. Okay? So he says no one born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. That's God, the Holy Spirit. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. Right? So he goes on to say, this is how we know who the children of God are. Ah. You see what I'm saying? So it's part of the whole fruit process. If I see a consistency of how, remember, and if you, and this is another thing to find out, if a person is controversial, and I'm not saying they're wrong, look at where their controversy is. If I am touting and pushing something God says, if I'm living something the way God says and the world hates it, that controversy is expected, right? That the world's going to hate us. But if my controversy is my opinion, supporting another group, doing stuff to people, separated, unfair, favoritism, any of that stuff, and it's not of God, I'm sinning. Do y'all get this? Right? I'm not walking by the Spirit. I'm walking by the flesh. And this is my calling card. This is my where I sit there and you watch, and you have to do this too. He said, this is how we know. I know we like to seem spiritual. Well, no, I have the spirit of discernment, and I understand. God was like, you say you have the spirit of discernment, and I gave you the answer. If I tell you the answer is A, why are you picking C going, no, I have this other? Test the spirits, right? He already gave us the answer. You still see Christians running to and accepting these false. He says, and who the children of the devil are. Right there, we have all we need. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Major. Okay. So when it, first of all, what is right, measure it. Most of our success, especially in our capitalistic system, it will only be achieved if you do what is not right. We don't like that. We don't, because in order for it to work, there's going to be a lot of deception. There's going to be a lot of pushing others down in order that you may get up. There's going to be a lot of money worship. Do you understand this? You give me any success, and of course, on the outcome, because you have all this money and people really like you and you move along. But was it all done with God? And we go, well, it's just business. Please be careful if you're going to go with that, because was it right? He didn't say it was just business. Question was it right? I work for a hospital, and unfortunately, there's still a business, and there's a lot of stuff we do that are going to harm a lot of people. However, a lot of stuff we do that are going to help a lot of people. Now, the parts that are going to harm is because it costs too much. Not it costs too much and we can't afford it. It costs too much, and investors and stuff like that aren't going to get their profit. Think about that for a minute. So I know more people are going to die, but I'm going to pat myself on the back and say, but we're saving so many other people. And you have Christians that will fall right along with that, because we'll go, but it's business. You get this? Right? And this is what ministers end up doing. I understand that. I've been tempted with it. I never even looked at it, but there's a temptation that comes across, and people would lure me in that way. If I made our church a business, I would strive to have people. It would be an organization. I'd have some sort of niche for people to go, yes, I'm going to follow that. But is it right? Go to these organizations, the thing that they did, you'll give excuses, but is it right? And he says, if it's not right, it's of the devil. And here's the other part, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. The loving, especially of other Christians. And what Satan has done successfully is we have allowed race, we've allowed class, we've allowed location, we've allowed other items separate us from other Christians. Amen? There's certain things we're doing to one group who are Christians that we're not doing to what we may call our group who are Christians. So are we loving our brother? The answer is no. Can't love one and hate the other. Cannot. Secondly, this is not just for our brother, but he puts emphasis on our brother. Because remember, even when Jesus said, the love, the way we love other Christians, they will know you're my disciples. When I watch these groups get together and they come together as a group based on something else other than Christ, and they treat another group, even though they're of Christ, are they really of Christ? That's disturbing when he says they don't love their brother. Right? Do they? I told you during the whole pandemic, one of the things that hurt my heart is I'm watching one group call themselves Christians bash other people who didn't take the, whatever. And then you get the other ones who call themselves Christians and they support conspiracy theories. And they were separated from a shot. Right? Instead of supporting God unto death. Both sides were. You were watching them not love their brother. What should have been said is, hey, can we talk about this? But it wasn't. It was, here's my side, here's my, and that was actually a disputable matter. People may have scientific and strong feelings, still disputable. Don't blaspheme God by making it seem like God said, I must. Amen. But we did that, and we didn't love. Very dangerous that we didn't follow that and that we didn't do it. And it showed ourselves to the world. Now, here's a warning concerning types of sin. Okay. So we understand that watch a Christian, and if his life is described, and please know those sins that we blow off. God, those are the ones that are going to catch you. Okay, watch how you are. Being passive is a sin. Like I said, the attitudes we have can be a sin. And I know sometimes we just get concerned. Oh, no, I'm worried. Don't worry. Just read it and apply it, right? What we're really saying is I'm comfortable. I don't want to change. Then there's nothing we can say about it. If I'm choosing not to change, even though he empowered me to change, what can I say? So what we're really saying at times is, God, I don't want to change, but I still want to get the benefits. Nothing you can say about that, right? Comfort is dangerous, man. That's why most drug addicts stay on drugs, even though they tell you, man, don't ever get on this drug. Don't ever. I got to watch some different stories on people who are out on the streets, and they're on the streets because they're on drugs. They were given interviews, and I was listening to them, and all of them have an out. If they would stop, and they all say the same thing. Well, one day I will. That drug is their God. They're doing some horrendous things. They've lost their children because they're under that. So in the same way, we're doing that. We know what I have to do. We know when something's wrong, but I'm comfortable. And look at them, they're doing it. So here's the warning concerning types of sin that we must realize, and then we'll close. 1 John 5:16-17 says, if anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, okay, and hopefully we know what that is. I'll explain in a little bit. But do you see this? First of all, sin still exists, and I have a responsibility. When you sin, you have a responsibility when I sin. But this is why it's so important for you to tell me when I'm truly sinning. I told you when I was in college and I got the one group and they're telling about clothes I'm wearing and I had a hat on. None of review. I don't understand where they got it from. They called it flashy, but it was their opinion. It was nothing biblical, but it was just in their group. You got to look as homely as possible. You got to do this. Don't do this. And they were misleading the word. I remember I was just sitting there going, this is ridiculous. Right? But if I wasn't in the mode that I was supposed to be, right, hold on, give me 1 second. All right, so if I wasn't in the mode that I'm supposed to be, then I could have been misled by them and start spreading, that's a sin, and go up to somebody, you know you're supposed to be doing that. And half the stuff they were saying, I'm sorry, all the stuff that they were saying was wrong, was dead wrong. And I keep remembering that, and I keep putting that out there because we still have Christians that will do that. We'll pick out things that are not sin. But if I do see them commit sin, I have to know when it's sin, right? He should pray and God will give him life, right? So that should be instantly where I'm looking at him. Understand, if I'm making stuff that I don't know, I'm wasting time. And he says, I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. And then he makes clear there is a sin. And we all know what that is. It's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy is when I knowingly say something wrong about the Holy Spirit. I've heard some philosophers and people who have structured it as other things. The unpardonable sin is this. The unpardonable sin is that. One guy said, unpardonable sin is not accepting Christ. I understand what they're trying to do because you have people going, did I commit it? You'll know if you commit it because you'll knowingly do it. You'll clearly do it. So even those people that said, the Holy Spirit told me, and they're not sure, they're not doing it in this case. This is what the Pharisees were doing. They would lie about the Holy Spirit in order to make their agenda go across. And you have ministers that have done that. They knowingly know what they're doing. So it's the ones that got up there and said, the Holy Spirit told me, and then you sent me a bunch of money. That could be blasphemy of the Holy Spirit because they're now utilizing him for their greed. So that's what that is. So he said, there is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that you should pray about that. So when I see them do that, prayer ain't going to do anything for them. They're a lost cause. It breaks. It hurts, doesn't it? But that's one of those sacred things that he already gave us the guidelines. He says in verse 13, 17, all wrongdoing is sin. Please know what wrongdoing is. It's, did God say it's wrong? Yeah, then don't do it. Don't let some man make it up. And there is sin that does not lead to death, right? There's stuff you can repent from, things, you know, majority of sins out there. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God, watch this, keeps him safe. This is one of the verses we understand and realize why we can't be possessed. Because as a Holy Spirit, one, they can't dwell in the same place, and he keeps us safe, and the evil one, watch this, cannot harm him. Please know what harm means, because he protects us even in death. That's in Luke, I think Luke 14. And when you get a chance about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, you can read Matthew 12, 30 through 32. Questions?
I gotta get my books.
Okay.
So this one is question along with thoughts in here.
Okay.
We're talking about Proverbs 17:15. Acquitting the guilty is unjust and abomination to God. So my question thoughts is, so the way the laws are written today and the legal loopholes and the different defenses that are used to allow the guilty to walk, does that mean anyone participating, such as the judges, lawyers, witnesses, and jury, responsible and held accountable to God for that, for the hand in their acquittal?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because that's why if we go in the jury, we say we affirm and we're not, you know, but we're going to, in many cases, you're going to see something, you're going to feel, and that's what they go upon. If I don't have enough evidence, I can't, you know what I mean? Even though I may feel they did it. And that's how they get so many people. Unfortunately, jails are full of a bunch of people that didn't have the right representation, but I can make a person not look guilty. You
Right.
know what I mean? I mean, you see the money difference in that too. I mean, OJ had a fantastic gazillion-dollar group of people. And I don't know too many people say he didn't do it. You know, I mean, we have our conspiracy and stuff like that, but he did a fantastic job. And he said, if you can't, if it doesn't fit, you know, and he throws that out there, the answer should have been they did the right thing of going, I think I'm sure he did it, but there was too many holes and too many, so you'd back off. And you're not, the problem is in our law too, that after you acquit, he was, you know, he can got a key cutter game out there and said, I did it. You know what I mean? But and I understand why they did it because of what they used to do in the past. So we got to be careful in all the cases. Secondly, when we support those things as well. You know what I mean? So if we're a supporting case of it, I think we're included in that as well by association.
Women, say the last piece again.
So if we support the groups that do this as well, do you understand this?
You
Because there
know.
are a lot of groups that go after groups. I remember in the 80s, they used to go after, but they went after just the street drug dealers, but it didn't touch the big organizations. Everybody said that it went way up, but you didn't see anything doing that. And the question should have been, that should have been as Christians going, no, we need to see a stance on this. We need to see consistency. But people were like, yeah, they're so great. Isn't this great? Yay. And you get these little kids and you're throwing them in jail. And I'm not saying they're wrong. They were criminals, but we made them the face of something that was much larger than that.
So Hebrews 8:7-12 was talking. So from the beginning, God knew man would sin. So he made the first covenant knowing that it would be impossible to keep. I don't know why, I guess I got lost in it thinking about it.
It could be your question. I mean, and you're, if what I think you're thinking is a legitimate concern, well, why then, if he knew we couldn't do it, are we getting blamed? And it's not that. It's not because the whole key comes down to was never for me to keep. It was for me to trust him.
Okay.
That's the whole, remember the whole entire thing even with Adam and Eve, into the people, into the law, and here, now, in grace. I just need you to trust me from the beginning. So if he said not to, I don't do it. We as humans still go into that mode of, well, how come, right? And there's nothing wrong with asking a question, but we end up living in questioning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it becomes a problem.
Well, this kind of leads into, I don't know if it's a TikTok or whatever that I got, I guess, this evening from my son.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is saying about why he doesn't believe in God.
Okay.
And, you know, he goes back to about how if God, you know, if he knows the beginning to end, then yep. he already knows that, you know, we're going to be this, that, and other. And, you know, if he is God, he is the creator, and mm-hmm. there's no one before him, mm-hmm. then why did he create people? What was the purpose of creating people, knowing that they're going to be? But that was just some of the things. Was that he had a long list of
oh,
things.
Of course he did. Yep.
And so my son wrote back. He's cooking, and almost wrote back. I had to snatch my finger. Yeah, right. he's going to be cooking.
Yes. But the problem is, what that guy was doing wasn't the problem. The problem was how we ministered. No one told us to convince people. He just tells us to minister. But because we went out there and we start giving pearls to swine, we start presenting God from a human part, a way of looking at him, then the people can reason God in that way. And that's what we have today. We got a lot of people in, I always said one of the worst things that happened to the church was worldly intelligence.
Yeah.
We've hired a lot
things?
Of.
What was the four things you said? The hardest people is intelligent, rich.
What do you mean? That are to get to?
Yeah.
The four things that that actually hurt that teaching is intelligence, emotion, culture, and ignorance.
Yeah, I thought that was right. Okay.
And those things touch us to where when we get to people, though, that they mess up because we go after that. And when people, that's why I said apologists, I understand what they're trying, but it's not godly, because they'll go in there and they'll know history and they'll take out these books. There's one guy, and I know he means well on TikTok, but he defends what he believes in, not he believes in God. When he believes in something, like he believes in the Catholic Church and he believes certain things. So when somebody says something, he goes back into, and when this king did this and they did this, and that's why we do this, so then it's accepted by God. Not in the Bible. He doesn't show it in the Bible. So then people, then they want to debate with him. So he's ready to debate, which we shouldn't be doing. Right? Jesus didn't even debate with them. We present, we live, and go from there. This guy's questioning because we presented as if it was questionable.
Well, I didn't really respond either, because I don't think, like, he's not saying I want to know the truth, because when I've had many discussions with him,
yep.
and he always goes back to, like, you know, the intelligent people think, or, you know, like this guy is talking. So yep. he's not really wanting to know, with me
exactly.
anyway, know the truth. He just wants to debate it or question, you know, that kind of thing. So,
yeah, they usually want an excuse not to become a Christian.
Right.
And we just got to make sure we're not the one pressuring them to become Christian.
Well, I don't.
My kids aren't, you know what I mean? And I want to go down and say, what the heck's the matter with y'all? Y'all weren't raised this. I want to do that. But if I did that, it would be, okay, Dad wants us to, and blah, blah, blah. And I can mess the whole thing up. But I do have to be consistent in our Christianity. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And you hope that seed, because that's why he says, I plant, Apollos waters, but it's God that makes it grow.
Right.
As long as I'm consistent in doing the planting, like his word says, or doing the watering, like his word says, I'm trusting in God. But the minute I go, I'm going to go do this, they better listen to this, and I'm going to go add this, I'm now dabbling in God's word, and I'm going to mess it up.
So I don't know if he, you know, when he has conversations with Lisa, if it's different, you know, right. that he's seeking to find. But with me, he's, you know, coming at a different angle. So I don't say anything unless I'm, because he's not seeking the truth.
He's not.
You know,
that's
he's,
not, you just go,
he's okay. not seeking to find. Like you absolutely said, he's trying to show his intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to get away from God. I think you're going to have some people, because they enjoy the darkness. It doesn't look like that, but there are going to be some that just totally reject. I don't want it. There's nothing we can do. It breaks your heart.
Yeah.
And that would mean he'd have to submit to something. And I don't think that he I'm not saying he can't submit or won't submit eventually, but I think it's about that too. He'd have to submit.
I think that's true. I very much think that's true. Okay, so I got a couple more questions.
Okay, good.
So, Romans 4 and 5, what does Christ justify the wicked mean?
So, in other words, the justification, what does it mean just? In other words, the how you pay for your wicked, okay? And not saying I'm allowing you or enabling you to be wicked, because we're all wicked. So how did he get it so we got out of jail? How did he get it that we're just in this mercy thing where we're just picking up garbage and we're not in the death sentence? And that's what that means. Because remember, justice, when you see just, it's the other word of justice. How do you get justice for what you did wrong? Because remember, the wages of sin is death. So how did he do it? He died in our place. That makes sense?
I'm writing it down.
Okay. So in other words, the law said, not some human being, you had to pay for it by blood. Something had to die. But it had to be equal for equal. That's why we knew the animals were just a pass, a band-aid, momentary. And that's why they had to do it every year. But now we got a human, and that human, who is as Adam, we understand that, had to then go through everything we've gone through, be tempted in every way, and never sin, but he's going to take the punishment.
Okay. So Acts 7, I think it's 760, when Stephen when he was dying and he asked God not to hold it against them. So then I was thinking about that. Does this absolve them of their crime on Stephen based on his request to God? Or this is something that God takes into consideration when judging them? Or wouldn't they have to repent themselves? Was Stephen's request just a sign of his heart showing love for his killers even in death?
I think that there's a combination of things in there. I think first it shows his heart, and his heart was 100% in God in the right way. You understand? Because they're trying to kill him with rocks. I mean, they're and for him to have that conscience. But like we've seen in the Old Testament, he was going to destroy the Israelites multiple times until Moses was. And remember, you're not curbing him, you're doing what his will says to do. Right? So true love is doing everything to the last minute to save those people's lives. So it could have been the last thing of this, you know what, you guys, I'm gonna, after he dies, I'm gonna, you know what I mean? And when he says, don't hold this against him, yes, he may have taken that into consideration. God, and even in God's love, all of this is still part of mercy. So, in that sense of part of his will, if you pray for him, it may make this prolong. But if I'm not praying for him, I may be part of the cause of why it went as short as it did. Does that make sense?
So you're saying it may have changed some of their hearts?
It may have changed their situation because he's talking to God. Please do not hold this sin against them. Okay. So God may, just like he did with Moses, not blow up the people, not just destroy them.
Oh,
He
I
may
got you.
go, you see what I'm saying? But
So is
if he
it
wouldn't,
that algorithm thing that you talk about? Because he prayed for them, God is now going to forgive them. But if he didn't pray for them, he might not have forgiven, or something like that.
yes, very well put. Yeah, because remember a flow chart, if y'all ever seen it, I can get a picture and show it to y'all, but a flow chart would have it in the sense of if you do this, then this is going to happen unless you do this. Does that make sense? You still got two paths. Did you do this? You're going this way. However, if you do this, then you can go this way. And that's where we always make it an on and off switch. And that's why people like say, didn't he change his mind? And the Bible itself says you can't change God's mind. So then it makes you come down to, wait a minute, you're not changing his mind. He gives that whole process in order for us to look at it and to recognize what we're doing. But I'm gonna give you a picture. I use this picture as an example. This is a flow chart, and you start. So we just like it to be is answer yes or no, you know what I mean, period. So did you do this, and you go yes or no. But in these cases, and it'll be more complex than this, the if I go yes, I'm going this way. However, going this way, some of the flow charts will have another thing, but did they do this? Then it goes this way. There'll be another bubble on this end. That's God's will. That's his will. So his will isn't, Keith, if you don't do this, you're going to do this. Because if I sin, I'm going to hell. Yes. However, if you repent or if you do this, remember, we just read it when he said, if a person does a sin that doesn't lead to death. So as long as the sin I see you doing is not the unpardonable sin, then I'm supposed to pray for you. Right? That would be on the street. But they would ask, was it the one that led to death? Yeah, then it would just go, no, don't waste your prayer. So,
Gotcha.
it's just one of those things in which his whole word is, there's certain things I'm telling you to do. You may not see it, but I want to see the ones that trust him. He really showed, Stephen really showed a trust and true love. We take it personal. And I think a lot of times we'll go, man, God, please blow these people up. You know what I mean? I mean, I think all of us would have done that. And I hate to say that, that's not godly love.
So let me ask you, how would you have responded to this, or would you have responded? I was telling Clarice today, I said, I keep running to these people with these strange ideas about,
Okay.
religion or their relationship with Christ. So my coworker was over here today, and he was talking, and he got talking about religion and and things like that. And he in his conversation, he went to Catholic school. He said he had a rough life. His mother was molested by a priest, and he was 5 years old. He was in the other room, but he went to the Catholic school because it was his choice. And so he's talking about the Bible and things like that. So we got a discussion about that. But then he says, well, he said he's a writer, he's a screenwriter, and all these different things. He has a book. And I said something about, I was qu quoting from the book of Romans, when I was talking about no one has any excuse, and that God giving people over to a reprobate mind. And so he
Excuse
was
me.
saying about for him, that's when he started talking about being a player. He said, well, I have to let you read the book on Romans. I said, what you mean, the Bible? And he said, no. He said, I wrote a book. He said, and some of it is, I think he said about himself, and then some of it's about, it's not, and he said it's like a fiction. It's not as people write movies and they rewrite stuff, kind of like that. And then he says, but he said he moved to the area that I live in because he wanted to get away from people in the arts, like the screenwriters and all that kind of stuff, whatever. And so he said he might be walking down the street and someone said, hey, Elohim. I said, what? I said, well, why do they call you that? And he said, well, that's the name of my production company, Elohim. And I said, and so something he must have said before that. And I said, I said, people want to make God common. And so then he said, well, he said that he said, I did this to lift him up or to, he said, other people don't understand that. And I was just standing there looking at him at this point. But how would you have responded? Anything, or just let him talk?
I let him talk. I let him talk because he's convinced. He's not asking a question. Do you get where I'm coming from? Now, in like I said, in how I live and the times when opportunities come up that we can just go, well, the Bible does say this, but even when it comes to the Bible, he still uses it as an option. You know what I mean? And he puts himself in that mode. I mean, I had somebody that went as a Christian really wanted to push something, and they wanted the Phoenix to represent God to them. Does that make sense? And they wanted to put this up. I said, you do know that's a whole nother, but this person wanted to talk about it. So I was able to kind of show them history and stuff like that, but they still went with it, believe it or not. But so in his case, he was convinced and probably thought he was, telling you something. And you just kind of go, okay. You know
Yeah,
what I mean?
that part is true because he's very, very intelligent. He's a paralegal, and he coming from a family that are well educated, and got nice position, all that kind of stuff. And so I listen to him. He tells me a lot when we're working. He tells me a lot of stuff. And so I very much think that's who he is. You can't
Absolutely.
tell him anything because he already knows the answer.
And the problem is, like I said, the intelligent is one of those four
Right.
things that weaken, and that's heavy because most what we call educated or intelligent families raise your kids to be intelligent, educated families. And then they'll go hunting for an educated, ch intelligent church, not spiritual. And then they'll get intelligent, whatever ministers. They'll get up and say a whole bunch of big words. They'll say stuff to make you go, wow, but it's not biblical. Because
Right.
biblical is very simplified and is foolishness to the intelligence, as the Bible tells us. So that's one of those cases where you see somebody that has something that's highly respected, but because they're using it incorrectly, it can be their downfall.
Right. Yeah, I didn't really respond. I just looked at him. I was telling Clarice about it. She said, well, she said, my mouth is, I guess, I said, I think my mouth is just hanging open. Like, look at that. Look at that.
I understand. And that's what I'm saying. You can't, there's sometimes you can. And I think we make it worse because you'll lose that debate because they're going to be speaking from a man's point of view. Like I told you when I had the discussion with my brother on, and we got real heated about it because we made it more human, less spiritual. You understand? And if I would have known spirituality just from decisions made, I would have gone, okay. That would have been my answer. Okay. But mine went, what are you talking about? What is the matter with you? And it went in a more emotional way. And I would have lost that. I would have definitely lost that because I'm just kind of, what is sometimes why, you know, because I think we think in our mind, everybody's going to do the right thing. If that was the case, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. So that man, I guess, growing up, whatever is affecting him, his emotions, all this other stuff. So you pray for God to touch him. And you'd be surprised. You do get certain people. I had a person I work with, brilliant. But before I left the hospital, he would start asking questions.
Okay.
So what does the Bible say about this? And I would just tell him it, and I'd back off.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me more of this? I'll tell him this, and then I back off. In my head, I wanted to go on and on and come here, and we're going to have Bible study again. Nope. Mine was, I'm going to answer him. I got to step back because it would have been me trying to do it.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for your questions.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anybody else have any questions? All right. Glory to God. Praise God. I hope everybody has a blessed Christmas and you can enjoy your family or enjoy your rest and everything else like that. But we celebrate Christ all the time. So try not to just make it this time like many people tend to do. But be safe and be careful in all that you do. And we'll continue to worship him with how we live in every case. And look out for those who are lonely and those who are struggling during this time as well. All right. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, thank you so much, dear Lord, for these opportunities to come together in your name. We thank you for the studies that you provide us, but we ask you for us to check to make sure it's not coming from me, but it's only coming from you, and I'm just being used as that instrument presenting. Help us to be led and understand through your spirit. Be guided by you at all times, dear God, and not to be distracted by what's going on in the world. Thank you so much for the questions. Thank you so much for the time and the attendance. We do thank you during this time where people hear your name, and we just want to make sure we're ministering you in the right way. But we ask for blessings and comfort for those who may struggle during this time as well. We thank you and we love you, dear Lord, and all these things we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say,
amen.
Amen. Love you, family.
Love you too. And